And on days where I was so depressed, I couldn't feed him. I couldn't take him out to the bathroom more than once a day. He didn't care. He would just lay with me all day.
Dog lovers, thank you for coming back to Rescued by a Dog, the podcast about dogs who have actually saved their owners' lives. I am Laura, host of this podcast and author of the novel, Not Just a Dog. This week, you'll hear two moving stories about how dogs can lift their humans out of even the deepest grief. Today's episode is sponsored by IzzyStays.com, a hotel booking website for animal lovers. Izzy Stays thinks every dog should be as spoiled as yours, so they set up a free and easy way to send the sales commission from your hotel booking to animal welfare charities. Now, let's hear from Maddie, whose loyal pup, PETA, stayed by her side through the hardest of times. Hi, Maddie.
Hi.
Thank you for coming on the podcast to talk about your dog, who I've heard about before because we're friends, but I've never heard your story about how your dog has helped you. So why don't you start out by telling me what's his name? What does he look like?
Yeah, so PETA, and it's PETA like the bread or the chip. I feel like I always have to say that because there's so many different PETAs it could be, but he is named after the food. He is a 5-year-old golden retriever. He looks pretty big. It's all his fur though. He's only weighs like 65 pounds. So people always think he's way bigger than he is.
Can I see him?
Yes. PETA, come here. Come here. What are you doing? There he is.
Hi, pretty boy. Look at your gorgeous coat.
He is the most beautiful golden. I know I'm biased, but he is the most beautiful, super fluffy, sometimes has little Grinch toes. Has some crooked teeth, which are very charming.
What are Grinch toes?
It's like when his hair gets too long in his toes and it looks like he's the Grinch.
That's so cute. Okay, so how did you meet PETA?
Yeah, so I actually got PETA from a breeder when he was 9 weeks old. And, you know, I support both breeders and rescue, but since getting him and being involved in rescue, I've realized that Goldens are really overbred and they have a lot of health issues and behavior issues. And I think he's kind of proof of that too. He came from a great breeder, you know, health tests and everything, but still has a lot of the golden health issues. But I got him at 9 weeks old. He was kind of anxious after I took him home and he didn't really eat for a month, which if you meet him now, he will eat anything and everything. So it's kind of unusual, but he's a sensitive guy. Goldens are pretty sensitive. So it took him a little bit to get used to everything. And he was my first dog on my own. I'd have dogs in my family before and I raised guide dogs in college, but he was the first one where it was my responsibility, my dog. It's just me taking care of him. So I think it took me a little bit too, to kind of bond with him, figure things out. But after that first month, it was pretty fast. He became pretty glued to my side. He was off leash trained at like 4 months old, like would not leave my side. When he first started giving me his little high fives, he just did it on his own. I thought it was really cute. He would, you know, just do it if I came up to him and like put my hands up and he put his whole body into his little high fives. And I think that was the first time that he was, you know, showing off how goofy he was and showing his true personality after he started settling in. I don't think I realized it at the time, but it was a pretty like turbulent time for me in my life with a lot of changes. You know, I was in my very early 20s. So that was, of course, one whole thing being in your early 20s. Everything is all up in the air. When I got him, moved up to New York for a job, didn't know anyone up there. So it's kind of crazy. I was kind of beginning to get into a really bad depressive stage of my life. I've always struggled with anxiety, but just, I think all the change. I also, in that first year after I moved, I had my aunt pass away and I was very, very close with her. And, she died pretty young, from cancer. And shortly after that, my grandfather, who I was really close to, passed away from cancer as well. And I think those were two pretty big things in my life. I think from that point until about a year or two after that point, I, was getting more and more depressed. And I didn't really have anyone I could talk to. My family was in Georgia. I didn't want them to worry about me. And I don't even think I realized it myself at the time, how depressed I was. And looking back now, I can tell, I was like, wow, young Maddie really needed help. She didn't know how to ask for help. And I think the hardest part that time, I think I just felt like everyone was gonna leave me because my aunt and my grandfather died, and you know, it wasn't their choice, of course, but I just felt like I was gonna lose everyone at some point, and I knew I wasn't gonna lose him. Sorry. Okay. And I was diagnosed with PTSD just from like losing people, and it really did affect me for a long time. And with relationships, I feel like I couldn't form relationships with people well because I just thought they were gonna leave. And it got really bad. My mom and dad couldn't even really call me a lot of times because I'd get nervous that they were just gonna tell me someone else had died. But I knew PETA would never leave me. He didn't even wanna leave my side. Even when we went off leash hiking, he was just right next to me. So it was really comforting to have him there with me. I think towards the end of, you know, being undiagnosed with depression and PTSD and not really knowing what was going on, I think towards the end, I did want to end my life. And I think he really helped me, you know, not follow through on that because I knew I had him, and I knew that he, you know, someone else could take care of him, but he wouldn't love anyone as much as he loved me. You know, people say that they can't live without their dogs, and I think a lot of the times it's so true. And on days where I was so depressed, I couldn't feed him. I couldn't take him out to the bathroom more than once a day. He didn't care. He would just lay with me all day. He was just always my friend. He's my best friend. I say it all the time. He's the best friend I've ever had. He's the love of my life. I tell my boyfriend that I love PETA more than him, and he knows and accepts it. Even just looking at his face, and if he knows I'm sad, he'll put his face on my chest and he'll just look up at me, and I'll just pet his muzzle. I love just like scratching his muzzle. I'm doing so much better than I was at that point in my life. I started going to therapy, taking medication. And I think I think I wanted things to get better. And I think that's about the time that I really started doing a lot of like training with PETA, like a lot of different classes. And I think that helped me get out too of that. And it was a really good distraction at the time too. And I think it really spurred a love for dog training. To this day, PETA and I do a lot of training. We compete in scent work. He's working on his third trick dog title. We got all the CGC levels. And it also helped me be more social too, especially, you know, living alone. And I'm not like super introverted, but I am more introverted. But it started to get me out of my shell because whenever I'm with him, I don't find it hard to talk to people. You know, I don't feel anxious in crowds. I don't feel anxious in new situations because I have him. So he's kind of a crutch to help me through that.
Does he like doing those things too?
Oh, he absolutely loves them. I don't know if you can see behind me, but I have all his ribbons on my wall. So he loves his ribbons. Every time we play, it's not about the ribbons, it's about having fun, but he will see the ribbon. He'll like try to grab it with his mouth. He gets really excited. I think he loves being a therapy dog the most. We just started in December, but we currently mostly visit a psychiatric hospital and a children's shelter, and he absolutely loves it. He would stay there all day if he could. I think that also shows how compassionate he is. When we walk into a room, he will beeline towards someone that he knows needs it the most. It's typically, you know, the person who's quieter, who's not, you know, so much like, oh, let me pet them, that he'll kind of make a beeline towards them. Like he knows that they need him and just rest his head in their lap. I've noticed myself, like when he's with me and I'm out in public or if I'm like a little anxious, I'm just petting him, but it's like, I'm not even consciously doing it. And I've actually met a lot of people because of him. I've met some friends because of him and through the therapy dog work that I don't think I ever would have, you know, got up on my own and initiated friendship. I'm really happy things got better. And I know, you know, everyone always says to people who are depressed, oh, it'll get better, and you never believe it, but it really does get better. Sometimes I just look at him and I feel like he knows what I'm saying and what I'm thinking. I think he can kind of tell too when I'm feeling better, because there's, you know, when I start feeling better and there's a point where I'm okay, he'll just go about his own business then. Like, I think he knows, you know, like, okay, she's got this, she's good. I trust him completely and he trusts me completely.
If PETA could understand human English, what would you like to say to him?
Oh, I knew this question was coming, but it still makes me emotional. I tell him it all the time. I just tell him thank you for everything. I would also tell him that he has taken such good care of me and he would do anything for me, and it's my turn to take care of him and I would just do anything for him. I've heard people call it a heart dog, but I call it my soul dog because I feel like we share a soul.
Now we're going to hear from Aneth, who lost herself in grief until she met a rescue pup named Lily.
We did it. So is it Aneth? Is that how we say your name?
It's Aneth. It's like Annette, but it has a TH.
Aneth. So nice to meet you, Aneth.
I've never done this before. This is my very first ever thing, interview of any sort, really.
Oh, that makes me so happy. I find that even for people who've never been interviewed, it's pretty easy to talk about your dog.
Yeah, it's so easy. Yes, it is.
Yeah. Okay, so let's get started. Why don't you start by telling me, what is the name of the dog that we're going to talk about today, and what do they look like?
Okay, her name is Lily, and she is 2 years old now. She's 21 pounds, and she's kind of looks like a little bit of a deer. She or a fox. Some people think she's a fox. Some people think she's a Basenji, but she's a cattle dog and Chihuahua. And cattle dogs happen to be one of my absolute favorite dog breeds in the whole world. That was my very first dog. You know, each dog comes into your chapter of your life and they fit exactly what you need at that time. And so she fit what I needed at that time, which was loyalty and devotion. And then the second dog I got was another rescue. Her name was Cha-Cha-Cha. She was a German Shepherd Chow mix. And she was just so cool, calm, and collected the whole time we had her. And she was loyal, but she wasn't clingy, which was great with three kids. My husband was going through cancer, for about 5 years of that time. So she was the perfect dog just to be there. So December 2014, my husband passed away. June of 2017, my brother passed away. And then June of 2019, my dad passed away. And in between all of that, you know, I'm trying to raise three boys. I have one son in the middle who has Down syndrome, but he's very high functioning. So I'm very blessed in that sense. Working full time. And then after my dad died, then I had to put Cha-Cha down. I was very, very tired. Didn't have a lot of energy. Sad. It was just, you're just living, you know, surviving, I guess. I was just surviving every single day. Things just were just busy. And then 2 years ago, I started looking online on Facebook for dogs. And Anna with Soulful Paws Rescue, she had this one dog, and it was a litter that they named Super Cute after Texas music stars. So one was George Strait, one was Willie Nelson, and Kelly Willis. And the backstory that I do know about her, I don't know where, but they found the mama, and she had six puppies, and they were in a park. And that mama was such a good mama because she really did take care of all six of those puppies. And I kept staring at Kelly Willis, and I would keep coming back to her. And I thought, well, somebody will scoop her up. Somebody will scoop her up, because it was listed as a cattle dog Chihuahua mix. And my heart was like, oh, cattle dog, and a Chihuahua. Wow, that's so cool. And she was so cute. And my mom said, oh, for goodness sake, just talk to them. Just if you want the dog, get the dog if it works out. And I said, okay. So I set up a meet and greet. And when they came to the door with this adorable little 12-week puppy wrapped up in the cutest little blanket. I was the goofiest person you could ever meet. I just was beside myself, stupid beside myself. Couldn't even open the door. I was doing the jig dance, you know, on this side of the door. She's standing on the other side of the door, probably thinking, what is this crazy person doing? And I opened the door and I just was love struck immediately. And just, she put her in my arms and that was that. We just all fawned over her. And my youngest son, he doesn't show much emotion at all, but he showed emotion that day and was grinning from ear to ear. And you could just tell he was so excited. And I just knew, I'm like, okay, we've been suckered in. we'll take her. But it was my very first puppy, my very first small dog, and my very first dog that I knew immediately that I was going to let on the furniture and sleep in the bed with me. I think it took about a week for her to kind of realize, oh, this is my place now. At night, when she was cuddled up super tight to me, I would, you know, get up in the middle of the night to go to the restroom and she would completely freak out. So I got to where I would have to carry her to the bathroom with me, put her on the floor, and then pick her back up and go to the bathroom. Yeah, I mean, go back to bed. But there did come a time where I was able to go to the bathroom without her anymore. Like, she knew I was coming back. In fact, she would get in my spot. And then I'd have to make her move and she would growl and grunt at me. Because I would, like, you got to move. She loved to play. And it was a great distraction for me. The fun game that even my mom would laugh. You could take a tug of war toy and you could spin her on the ground, like just go in circles with her. And she absolutely loved it. I mean, she really made us laugh. And it was such a wonderful distraction that it did take. That's why it was such a great healing thing, because it just really broke down and made all those pieces just kind of drift away. Those pieces that just, the scab that just wouldn't come off, I guess. And it just slowly, they just all went away with all of her play and taking the time to train her, you know, putting that time and making my brain work in a completely different manner did it. That's what did it. And it was, I mean, it was such a short, incredibly short period of time on how quickly I healed. And once I realized, you know, you kind of wake up one day with the realization of, oh my gosh, I didn't realize what this dog was doing for me. And you don't realize how much they help with your anxiety. It's amazing. You're just like, I didn't know I had that much anxiety. I had no clue. It wasn't quite survival of the fittest anymore. I was able to, I don't know, I can only think of the word give. I mean, I'm giving, but I was able to give in a different way because I was receiving something. I was receiving, it was being reciprocated. The love that I was wanting to give was being reciprocated. Dogs don't require anything back. They just provide such a comfort that they can love all over you and you can love all over them. And it's just that. There's nothing more to be expected. And that's what I got. Because the boys were older and they're boys. So you can't, you know, there comes a time where you can't hug and kiss on them. So I transferred all of that I was missing. I transferred it all to her and she reciprocated. Now, since I've had her, I'm fine. Like, I'm sad because I've lost my husband, Like, I think I'm at a part of a life that you kind of hit a normal. It becomes part of who you are and you've accepted it. When I got Lily, you know, I had to take her for walks. So that was great. You know, mentally it is important to do something outside of your home besides work, come home, clean the dishes, try to figure out what's going on with your kids. And then you go to bed and you start the whole day doing the same thing all over again. She had the routine down. And when it was time for a walk, if I wasn't on time and she was in my face, staring me down and pacing that. And then it was fun taking her for a walk too, because of all the lovely attention that you receive from people that get so excited to meet your new dog. And then you meet all these other people with dogs. And then the dogs become friends and you become friends through the dog. So that just opens up a whole nother world that's part of the healing process that I would not have gotten out there if it hadn't have been for her. I like my kids growing up. I love watching them find their way. And I can now comfortably sit back with Lily and Daisy in my arms and really let them go. And I often teased my kids when they were growing up. I said, you do realize one day you all will be replaced with a dog. And they would laugh. Well, I said, you do realize y'all have actually been replaced with dogs. At night, when she has to be so close to me, she just can't get close enough. We sleep very tightly close back to back. And what cracks me up is she'll get up and do the circle thing. You know, the dogs do the circle thing. And it's almost like she's doing a wrestling move. She hits me so hard coming down. It's like she's elbowing me in my back. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Sometimes I'll roll over and just touch her. And I like scratch one spot and it just feels so good. And it's so calming. She's always touching me, which gives me a sense of comfort. Like when I'm trying to pack and stuff, her nose is in it. She's trying to help. She follows every step I make.
So if Lily could understand human English, what would you say to her?
Oh, I just assume she does. I tell her I love her all the time. And I tell her she's a goofy girl and she makes me happy. And, you know, I've taught her to give hugs and kisses. When I say give me kiss, she just, boom, just gives me automatic kisses. Sometimes too much. Like I have to make her stop. She makes it where you can't breathe. Yeah. She just kisses so much that you're like, I can't breathe. You have to stop. I love dogs so much. They've been my world now. And I am so grateful for that world.